Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa mawlana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send durood and salawat upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for having created us and having placed us in this world where He has provided everything for us, everything for our benefit and everything that we need to live in this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us alone. Although we may face numerous challenges, difficulties, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us, and He has provided for us a very powerful weapon, and that is dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my servants ask you about me, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am very near. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from having created everything so beautifully, the needs that we have, the requirements like air, water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this whole dunya, whole universe in such a beautiful manner. If you look at the beautiful rivers and trees and mountains that are out there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also provided food for us, the different foods in different forms, be it the vegetation or animals which we can eat from. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much. However, we may see or look or view at different aspects in different ways. So it is not uncommon to hear people saying or making statements like, you know, how unfair everything is, how unfair the whole world is, how unfair people are to us. And many may cite examples also. For example, a person may say that everything is for the rich. And one example there is that, you know, if a person is looking for a very economical vehicle, then there are some very, very economical and fuel-efficient vehicles that are available out there that use very little fuel. Yet, who can afford them? Those people, the very wealthy, who economy is not an issue to them. So these vehicles are priced so highly, they're so expensive, that only the rich who are not really concerned with the economy can afford them. So how unfair is that? Or a shop may have a sale whereby the prices of the items are reduced drastically. But this sale is held at the time, maybe mid-month or at some other time, when those who are really hunting for a bargain don't have any money. So who benefits there? But then, instead of looking at how unfair everything is to us, let us focus on how unfair we are. How unfair are we to the world? How unfair are we to others? How unfair are we in our judgment? I like to cite the example of a fly. A fly comes around, buzzing around, and it's really irritating in the way it buzzes and it irritates us. And we may try to swat that fly, try to kill it, and people may, you know, let go with some unspeakable words also. But if you look at it, is it really the intention of that fly to irritate us? All it is doing is what it has been created for. It's coming around looking for its food. Although it may be irritating to us, but I don't think that fly has that intention to come and bug us like that. Excuse the pun. Likewise, the mosquito, when we are lying down there, we're sleeping, and we hear this buzz of this mosquito, this shrill sound of a mosquito, and we may try to sort that, we may miss it and become angry. But is it really the intention of that mosquito to irritate us, to break our sleep, to disturb our sleep, or to harm us, or to cause us irritation? No, it's out there looking for its food. It needs to sustain itself, even though it may be through our blood, but it needs its sustenance, and that is what it's looking for. So it's not really out there to irritate us or to bother us. It's just, so it is very unfair for us to pick on these creatures and so on. No doubt, if there's any harmful creature that poses a threat to us, it needs to be killed. It may need to be killed or pushed away. But it is very unfair on us to pick on these different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're placed here for a reason. They are here just carrying out what they've been created for. So it's very unfair for us to pick on them. On this point also, if you look at and consider the wind, sometimes the wind can be very strong. Sometimes when we are engaged in certain outdoor activities, now the wind may upset that activity. We need it to be a nice, still, calm day, but there the wind blows. Now, who has sent this wind? Of course, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is categorically stated in the hadith that لا تسبوا الريح, that we should not abuse, not speak bad, not swear at the wind. فَإِنَّهَا مُرْسَلَةٌ, because it has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, let us see that how unfair we are to the world and to the entire creation before picking on anything and before feeling that everything is unfair to us. Coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his dua and his methods of reaching him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most near, most close to us. Wherever we are, whatever challenges we are facing, whatever difficulty we may be in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right there with us. All we have to do, in whatever condition we are, even if we're in a state of janabat, we're not in a state of wudu, we could be deep down in the earth or underwater or high up in the sky, whatever the condition is, all we have to do is raise our hands and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call unto me. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instruction. Make dua to me. Call unto me. I will answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures us that he will answer us. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali says that everyone has needs. Everyone is in need of every type of goodness and success. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided different means and opened numerous doors for goodness and success in both the worlds. He did this so that those who are in need may seek assistance via these avenues and gain salvation from difficulties and calamities. The effects of all means or all efforts apart from dua are very restricted and not all embracing. For example, now the aim of natural means or efforts such as trade, medicine, etc. is worldly success, although they can indirectly assist one's deen as well. As for the shar'i means and efforts such as ibadat, like fasting, salah, hajj, their actual purpose is deeni success, although they are beneficial in one's material life as well. However, dua is the only method which has been stipulated equally for worldly and deeni success at the time, at the same time. Due to this comprehensive nature of dua, its importance is obvious. It is for this reason that encouragement, virtue, and emphasis in this regard are mentioned again and again in the Quran and Hadith. Consider these ayat and ahadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make dua to me, I will accept it. Rasulullah SAW was reported to have said that the greatest act of ibadat is dua. He also said, the doors of acceptance have been opened for the person who has been blessed with the opportunity of making dua. The other riwayat, the doors of paradise are open, the doors of mercy are opened. Also, the most beloved thing which can be asked of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to ask him for peace and prosperity. So this shows us also that we also ordered and instructed to ask for worldly needs, dunya needs, not only for the akhirah. Dua comes to one's aid even at the time when a calamity is befalling one. It also wards off impending calamities. At times, the moment a calamity descends, dua confronts it, and there's a struggle between the two until the day of judgment. There are certain adab of an etiquette of dua. It must be pointed out that dua is such a versatile ibadat that it can be made. It's not a condition that the following adab be followed. But if time permits and the conditions permit, then we should try to follow these adab, which are that we should be clean in the state of wudu, face the qibla, keep the hands open in front of the chest, to make dua with humility and sincerity and focus, and to have conviction in the heart that, inshallah, my dua will be accepted. We should have this in heart that we are calling out to the greatest, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who answers, the one who in whose control everything is. So with that conviction, and the conviction that Allah ta'ala is listening and He will answer the dua, ana inda zanni abdi bi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He treats us according to our expectations and of Him. Furthermore, we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recite Durood Sharif. And when we have completed the dua, we should pass our hands over the face. There are some special times when duas are readily accepted, during the latter part of the night, on the day of Jum'ah, especially the time after Asr, during the month of Ramadan, inshallah, which is coming up, and we make dua that Allah ta'ala keeps us well and alive so that we experience the month of Ramadan. After the tilawat of the Quran, after Fardh Salah, between Azan and Iqamah, and also for that person who is experiencing some difficulty, making dua is extremely beneficial. There are also some people whose duas are readily accepted. May Allah ta'ala make us from amongst them. We all want our duas to be accepted readily. These people are the salihin, or the pious, the dua of the parents, and also the dua of children who are obedient to their parents, and the dua of the oppressed. Now, there are some hindrance, some impediments to duas being accepted. That means there are certain factors that will stop a person's dua being accepted. One is if the person engages in haram, whether it's haram actions and consuming haram foods and drink, and dressing with clothing that is not according to Sharia. All these will stop a dua from accepted, as we learn from the hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs us in the Holy Quran that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has most beautiful names, so call on Him by them. So we know the 99 names, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're encouraged to recite that regularly, daily. We should try and memorize them as well, and make dua through the medium of these names. This facilitates the acceptance of dua. Once Rasulullah s.a.w. heard a person calling Allah by this great name, Ya Zal Jalal Wal Ikram, Rasulullah s.a.w. remarked that surely his duas will be granted, surely your duas will be granted. Ask of Allah whatever you wish. And according to another hadith, an angel is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that whenever someone says these words thrice, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, the angel responds by saying, no doubt the Most Merciful has focused all his attention towards you. Ask of him whatever you please. So those words are, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Now, to ensure that our du'as are accepted, one of the signs of gaining the recognition of Allah Ta'ala is to be granted the tawfiq of making du'a. Du'as made sincerely, fulfilling the necessary conditions, are always accepted. We should always keep this in mind, that we make a sincere du'a with full focus and attention. That du'a is always accepted, although we may not realize or notice it immediately. According to the hadith, any Muslim who makes a dua and his dua does not contain a request for anything sinful or anything regarding the severance of family ties, Allah Ta'ala grants him one of three things. That means his du'as may be accepted in one of three ways. He's either granted it immediately, or whatever he has asked for is saved for the akhirah, or by means of this du'a, Allah Ta'ala wards away some calamity from him. So we should never ever feel that our du'as are rejected. So here we have a very powerful weapon. We all have access to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make dua all the time and to remember him all the time and never to ever lose hope in him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.